Thank you for joining us today at A View Beyond the Ordinary. I'm your host, Jolene Lenz. I interview some courageous souls who share their extraordinary story with the goal of helping us pursue our bliss. Let's get started and tune in. Well, I want to thank everybody for being here today, and I'm excited about the guest that I have on the podcast. Her name is Monsi, and Monsi, is it Bhatia?
It's Bhatia, yes.
Bhatia, perfect. Well, I found Monsi from actually LinkedIn. I'm a huge LinkedIn advocate, as most of you know, and I am just enthralled with creativity and wanting to expand my own creativity. That's how I came across Monsi, and I wanted to just share a little bit with you all about her background, and then we'll dive into some questions today. But Monsi is a visionary creative leader with unwavering passion for empowering others. Her journey transitioning from a successful communications career to a celebrated mixed media artist and educator ignited her belief that creativity is a fundamental human need, often stifled by societal norms and self-doubt. Boy, I agree with that. So that is a little bit about you, Monsi, but I'd love to just find out from you, what led you down this path?
Well, Jolene, first of all, thank you for having me here. And boy, that's quite the introduction. So what led me down here? Well, it's been a very interesting path. And I, being an only child growing up in India in the 1980s, there was always this intense pressure to excel. Because if you weren't the best at what you did, what good were you? That's the ethos I grew up with. So there was a lot of hard work, a lot of work ethic that got built into me. And there was always high goals, lofty goals and aspirations and ambition, and didn't want to let my parents down. They told me that I had the brains to be anything I wanted, doctor, engineer, lawyer. Those were the three options that were given to me, despite anything I could be. Those were the three I should be. I had no interest in math. I was very good at arguing, which is why my mom thought that I should be a lawyer. But I just didn't appeal to me. And so the only thing left for me was medicine. And I thought, I actually am very empathetic. I like to take care of people. Maybe I could pursue that route. So I took science as my high school specialization area. But I was the only person in the school's history that fainted during a rat dissection.
Oh, boy.
So I just couldn't deal with the blood. And so it was like, okay. But I used to write about all of that. And my biology teacher was the one in high school. She was the only one who I used to share my journals and my poetry with. She encouraged me to send some messages out to publications. And so I got featured in teen magazines. I got my own column in a national daily. I was writing under a pen name. My parents didn't know. And then finally, when it was time to apply to college, she said, maybe psychology and writing should be your majors because you are very, very observant. You write really well. And psychology is a medical field. And so she kind of steered me in that direction. So I got my bachelor's degree in psychology and English, and then I came to Iowa to get my master's degree in journalism because by that time I was, that kind of idea of being a doctor had gone. I knew that writing was my passion, but I ended up working with nonprofits and in the medical field as a writer for the philanthropy departments of hospitals. So I was working with doctors and nurses and writing their stories and raising money for them, which was very, very deeply fulfilling. But then I became pregnant and I decided that I didn't want to work anymore. I wanted to enjoy the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Usually people take maternity leave. I took leave of absence during my pregnancy because I somehow had this notion that life wouldn't be the same again. And I was 100% correct because I got to enjoy leisurely walks. I watched all the movies I wanted to watch. I had coffees with my friends and went on lunch dates, thoroughly enjoyed my pregnancy. And then the baby came. And within about 6 months of her being here, I was losing my mind because it was, you go from this very celebrated career and you're at this cusp of being something that you've always dreamed of being, having the title, having all of the things that we're told success is, a six-figure salary, a cushy job, respect, and all of that stuff from the peers. And then here you are nursing your child in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., and she's entirely dependent on you. And there's this feeling of absolute love and absolute mm-hmm. loathing at the same time. And that was very, very hard for me. And I was struggling with that. And then we realized that she had 36 different allergies. Some of them were very severe, which basically prompted I felt like I was under house arrest because we couldn't go to the park, we couldn't go to the library, we couldn't go to birthday parties. So as she was growing older, and this is like 3 years down, she's 3 years old now. I'm still at home, still with her, still feeling this repentance. And she happened to drop these tempura paints on our wooden floor, hardwood floor. And I was in the kitchen, and I remember I just sat down with her and I started swirling the colors around. And I then purposefully started pouring more color. And we just made mud. And that sensory experience was so calming. We were not even like making anything, but just pausing in that moment, being with her and celebrating what we were doing with our hands, that tactile experience, like that just flipped things for me. That was that switch. And I said, you know what? I always wanted to be an artist when I was a kid, but it was never given any, it was like, okay, it's a hobby. That's what my
Right.
parents used to say. It's a hobby. That's not going to be your job. That cannot be your career. And I went back to that feeling of being that 6-year-old wanting to paint. And
Is
this time, because I had nothing else, I had nothing to lose,
right.
right? I'm literally at this point where I cannot go back to work. I have this child that I am so deeply, madly in love with, and I want to take care of, and I want to spend time with, but I also want to do something for me. And that's how art kind of stumbled its way back into my life. And that's, you know, what started this journey. That's a
I mean,
very
like,
long-winded answer, I'm sorry, but that's kind of how I reached this point.
I was going to say, oh my gosh, to have that happen, it's so grounding, right? To be in there and playing with mud or paints or whatever you were doing. And part of society, it's so sad to see kids these days just inside all the time, most of them, where they're playing on computers and whatnot, where I think just nature itself and
Yes.
art is so incredibly healing. So, in terms of creativity, obviously, you are a master now, and hence why I've seen a number of things that you do. So I recommend all of you, and I'll make sure I put the links in today's, reference to this podcast. But Monsi, you have some amazing things you post on LinkedIn, some of the ways you do that, and you have a business that you created, it looks like 7 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit more about what it is you do there and what your mission is?
So my mission is to amplify the happiness quotient in this world, one little token at a time. And that one little token that I talk about are these handcrafted mixed media bookmark type things that I make, sometimes with finger painting, sometimes with watercolors, sometimes I just, whatever is within reach, I just pick it up and I play with it. And there's no agenda. It's more of a therapeutic session for myself. Because for me, creativity starts with kindness and grace to myself, because we routinely extend, especially as women, we routinely extend a lot of kindness and grace to others in our life, and we forget to take care of ourselves. And so art for me has always been a way to take care of me. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate setup. I don't light candles. I don't play music. I don't have incense burning. I don't do any of that. My art usually happens when I've put the pasta to boil and I have 5 minutes. I come in, I create a token, and I go back. And that gives me that 5 minutes of escape. And that's what I teach. So I call myself a creativity facilitator. I've mostly worked with women in the last 7 years. And I have discovered that it doesn't matter how old or young you are, where you're from, what your cultural background is, what your belief system is, none of that matters. All of us women, for some reason, self-doubt is our biggest stumbling block. And we stop ourselves from getting started. And I see that over and over and over again in all of my workshops. People will come in with all of these hang-ups about, oh, but I'm not a watercolor artist. I'm just going to watch. And I literally have led women to ditch the brushes, ditch the pens, just don't even use pencils. Let's just take some acrylic paint. Don't decide on a color wheel-based color match for your colors. Close your eyes, pick the three colors that come in your hands. Let's work with them. And I do that routinely. As a way to encourage myself to start, because often we stop ourselves from starting. And sometimes you just need that nudge, you know, okay, let's just pick whatever three colors come in your hand, start with them. Just get over that fear of the blank page, put something on there and see what happens. And it's a
Self-judgment.
journey. Yeah,
We
it's a
are
journey.
right. We so judge ourselves. I did a little experiment on this too. Just I worked at an art guild in Castle Rock, Colorado for a bit. We did a class. We videotaped individuals doing what just what you said. We had everybody draw, put them in pairs, and they had to draw their partner. And we heard so many negative self-talk as we walked around, and then we showed them a video of children. When you videotape children that are 3 to 4 years old before that voice, that self-doubt voice gets in there, how fun they were to watch them, and they were so proud of their stick figures. And then we look at us, we grow up, and I don't think we're meant to completely grow up. So I love what you just said there. I think that is so important, is and it stopped me. I know how many times, self-doubt just it just paralyzes us. In terms of lessons learned, obviously that's such a huge one. Are there any other ahas you've had or moments where you're like, wow, if I could just share this with the world, it's going to make such a ripple effect since that's your mission.
Well, many, many moments collectively. So I've actually been writing a compendium of these experiences in a section called Token Tales on my website. And I think the first one that triggered this was my daughter and I. We were at this restaurant. She had just overcome all her allergies. She was 5 years old, and we celebrated by going to a Thai restaurant. And we were sitting there, and the server was really kind, and he was very generous in giving time to us, not rushing us. He saw that she was, young, and he just let us be. We took about an hour and a half to finish our lunch, but there was no rush. Like we saw they were shutting down and everything. He was very kind. And so I wanted to do something for him besides just leave a tip. And my daughter, she was doodling on this paper napkin, and she said, "Can you write thank you, Mama?" And I said, "For what?" And she said, "We can give it to him." And I thought, "Oh my gosh, yes, we totally can." And so we just had a ballpoint pen that we had taken from him when we were signing the check. And so I wrote thank you in calligraphy style bubble letters. And she had drawn something that was not decipherable, just, abstract art, I guess. And we handed it to him. That man, he had tears in his eyes. And he started telling us about, he had overheard some of our conversations. He started telling us about his niece who had allergies. And we connected human to human. I asked him his name. He asked me mine. We had a conversation. It's not often that you have a conversation with a server at a restaurant,
Right.
human to human. And I think that was the day when it started something and we just started doing it. It just became a tradition. And every time we would go, and now we started carrying art supplies with us, which I carry to this day. So I have a watercolor kit with me at all times. Even if I'm just going out in a jacket, my jacket pocket has a water brush, it has a little paint tool. I always have paper with me, always, because I don't know when I'll be standing in a line for coffee and I might want to thank the barista. So I'll just sketch something really quickly, write a handwritten note, and tell them they're doing amazing and the wait was worth it. And it's those connections that we foster human to human, I think, that's been the biggest revelation for me, that we're all the same. At the core of it, everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to know that they're valued and appreciated. And if you can give them that tangible token of appreciation, I mean, that's what creates the ripples.
You know what? That is amazing. And I so wish I lived near you.
Well,
I would say, Mon.
we can do online workshops. I'd be happy
Oh,
to do that.
we will have to do that for the audience. Have a do a workshop in the future. So stay tuned. How fun would that be? Because I was just thinking how great it would be to run into you at a restaurant. I would, that's a blessing. And what an amazing story. Thank you for sharing. And when I look at the business world now, too, Monse, I was going to say, so many people, I've been in the corporate world for many years. It seems like we work, work, work. And I'm wondering, I think we so forget about creativity, having it be a balance, a way to balance ourselves. And when I look at ways that we can do that to get started, are there any tips? I know you said, don't let self-doubt just start. Any recommendations for anybody that may be in a corporate job where they feel stuck? Because I talked to a lot of people that feel stuck doing what they're doing. What recommendation would you have to help them gain clarity?
Procrastination, in one word, is the best thing you can do to be creative. And procrastination comes in many forms, just like creativity does. There are many days when I don't feel like painting and I don't feel like drawing. That's the day when I will sit and sharpen pencils. I will spend an hour and a half just sharpening my colored pencils. And in that hour and a half, I don't play music, I don't listen to audiobooks, I'm not listening to a podcast. I'm literally just sharpening my pencils. And I think the burst of creativity that happens right after that, it might be an hour after, it might be a day after, it might be 2 days later, but it gives me that space. And I think that's what we're lacking right now, is that there's so much noise and chaos around us. We're not creating any time for just space and silence. And if we were to just allow some pause in our lives, in whatever way that is, it doesn't have to be sharpening colored pencils. You could go for a walk, a quiet walk, listen to the birds, look up at the trees. Because I see people on our walks all the time with they're listening to some music or they're listening to a podcast. There's always something. There's some stimulus that we're always consuming. And I feel if we take that consumption away for a minute and just be one with nature or just close our eyes and listen to our breathing, those little
Right.
moments of mindfulness and the procrastination is what is going to help spur creativity in whatever form it is. It might be that you want to make some pasta, but you'll add fresh basil today instead of, doing something like canned things. It might be as simple as that. Creativity can take many forms. It doesn't always have to be art. But if you give yourself the space and the time to just be, I think that's what's lacking right now.
What a gift when we do that. I found that from personal experience. And for me too, I was going to say one of my mentors or just books that has helped me is Julia Cameron's book. And I referenced it earlier when you
Yes.
and I were talking before the podcast, called The Artist's Way. For those of you out there, it's such a great book. And one of the things that Julia Cameron, the author, suggests that we do is that we have an artist date with ourselves weekly. So I'm rereading the book. And that artist date is just doing something spontaneously and having that time where what you just said, where it's you, maybe it's just me going in and looking through art supplies or just being quiet and not really going with anybody else. So there is that distraction, but listening to our internal voice and having space, the way you said it, I think is a great way for us to even hear the guidance that we get in because we're just, it's constant noise around us, but especially with telephones.
And I think, you make a very good point, Jolene. Just being with ourselves is the hardest thing to do because it's scary. And
Can
we
be.
sometimes, have these thoughts crop up that we don't know what to do with. And one of the biggest gifts that I have given myself in those scary times is I write everything that comes to mind. It's kind of like the morning pages. So you don't edit, you don't think, you just, it's just something, you just, it's a direct flow from your brain to paper. And even just 5 minutes of doing that. And sometimes it's just me writing. I don't know what to write, but I am writing because I need to write. I don't know what I will be doing in the next 5 minutes. It's just random stuff, exactly what I'm thinking without editing. But letting that out helps with that flow, with that idea that it's okay to be with yourself.
And so much clarity comes when you're writing. And sometimes I'm surprised by what I write. It may be something I hadn't even thought of, and it flows to the paper. And then after I reread it later, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my next step. I hadn't even, realized it.
It's so interesting you said you reread because I never do that and actually don't recommend that to anyone. I have painted over everything I've written. All these spontaneous writing sessions, I don't throw it away. I will not tear it up. I paint over it. And it's not legible anymore, but the writing is still there. Those feelings are still infused in that artwork. And when I tear up that piece of paper, then if it's 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, I write, I paint over it, and then I tear it up. And then I collage over that. And then that becomes a little token of love that I hand out to someone that I meet. So it has all of that energy, all the negative, all the positive, because we're complex human beings and we have so many different personas that nobody really actually knows who we truly are because we only share with them a part of ourselves and the part we want to show them. But we know who we are. And that's why I think it's so important to create that space for ourselves and become comfortable with who I am, imperfections and all, because each one of us is flawed. And yesterday, my daughter said, she's 10 now, and she said, I think each one of us is broken. And I looked at her and I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? For a 10-year-old to have that insight that And it's okay. We are all broken in some way, but it's okay. And I think that's where that self-love, you keep coming back to that, that kindness and that grace to yourself, because I think once you have that and you have that center, you're able to create that ripple effect outward. It's not going to happen outside of you unless it's starting inside of you first.
Beautiful. And you know what? You will make me rethink going back and reading, rereading what I'm writing. Maybe that's why I've stopped doing as much art. But I also want to say to the business people out there, I had a number of individuals say to me, "Well, I'm not creative." And I, as an accountant, have an accounting degree. I always thought, oh gosh, I probably don't have a creative bone in my body. But what I found after reading The Artist Way is that we do. All of us are creative. And we can apply creativity in ways that we hadn't even imagined when we let go. And like you said, it may not be painting or singing. It may come in a way that you think outside of the box at work of being innovative. But creativity is something I think we can all really expand on and ruminate in. And it's Yeah, anything you would add about the business world and creativity?
I think rejecting labels is the biggest thing. It's just because you're an engineer, you cannot draw. That's never made any sense to me. My husband's an engineer, all his friends are engineers. They can draw. They totally can. They can sculpt, they can weave, they can knit. They can do all of those things if they allow themselves to reject that label that comes. Because when they were 3 year olds, and I ask them this question often whenever I come up against someone who's like, I absolutely cannot do this. I'm a man, I'm an engineer. I am not dipping my fingers in this paint. And I ask them, well, when you were a 3 year old, do you remember doing that? Do you remember just walking in the sand? Do you remember drawing on the beach with a stick? You did that. But somehow we learn to not. And I think we just in the business world need to go back and harness that 3 year old that is still within us. Take that 3 year old's energy and put it to whatever it is that we think we cannot do creatively and just give it a try. And surprise ourselves because I think we will.
I think the world would be a lot happier place if we did that.
100%.
So on that note, as we wrap, one of my favorite questions, Monsi, is what does the corporate world need more of? And I'm not going to even ask corporate. What do you think the world could benefit from? And I think you hit on some of these things today, but anything else come to mind?
I think two things that I have been reflecting on a lot are kindness, as I've talked about earlier, and slowing down. I think there's so much value in the way we used to live. And when I say we, I mean our ancestors used to live, where we had time, because I keep thinking about this, we're saving time. We're saving time with all of these efficiencies that we have produced. But what are we doing with that saved time? Where does that saved time go? Are we saving time to actually do something mindful? Are we saving time to just be still? Are we saving time to play board games with our kids? Are we doing any of that? Or are we just saving all of that time and scrolling mindlessly on our phones? So just, something to pause and think about is what are we doing with that time? Slowing down and being kind.
I love that. I think the world could definitely benefit. And I think balance, if we slow down, I look at so many of us, and I've been on that cogwheel of trying to just make more money. It doesn't always lead to happiness. I think it's the little things in life I found
And they're
that bring
almost
us.
always free.
Say that again.
They're almost always free. Sunsets are always free, but do we make time to see them?
You know what? Let's focus on that, everybody, if that's what we do. Focus on. Right now, in this moment, what we can do that brings us joy, happiness, and kindness is so needed right now. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for sharing your story and your creativity with all of us. We will benefit. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Jolene. And whenever I have workshops, I would like all the engineer and business types to come attend.
Sounds great. Well, I'm happy you share them here and we'll put them out to the world as well. So thanks again. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Jolene. You as well.
Thank you all for joining us in this journey today. We are so grateful that you're here. And if you would like to connect to one of the guests, I always share their information in the show notes on my website, which is jolenelenz.com. That's JOLINELENZ. And don't forget to also subscribe to the podcast. I'd certainly appreciate that. And I'm wishing you all much joy and fulfillment in your path ahead. Cheers, everybody.